So what was God trying to prove anyway? Do you remember? We talked about that. What was God trying to prove? We talked about His character. We talked about the character of God, that His character needed to be shown to the world. His character had been misrepresented, misunderstood, and needed that clarification. We discussed how amazing it is that God was willing to put the cup back in our hands. That He's willing to trust us again. When most of the time we're not even willing to trust our kids with a little cup of water. But God gives us the cup of His grace, fills it up, and puts it back in our hands. But you remember too that doesn't happen just because He ignores whatever it was that made us spill the cup, right? But that instead it came as a result of repentance, a change in our lives. As we look at our text today, Exodus chapter 34, are you with me? Exodus chapter 34, we want to look again at the character of God. We want to understand this revelation of His character because that is what God has been trying to prove. Who He is, what He's all about. And so we look at Exodus chapter 34. Taking a look at verse 1 there. It says, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Cut two tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke.'" And that "which you broke" is very meaningful because it goes deeper than simply having broken pieces of stone, right? God was extending that lesson so that we would understand that it was more than broken pieces of stone. We had broken the law that had been written on those pieces of stone. And so here God was inviting him back. You see the mercy of God there. Inviting him back to obtain new tablets of stone. But there was something else. There was something else going on there. And if you look at chapter 33, it becomes a little bit clearer. Because Moses had already gone up to meet with the Lord. God had promised His presence to be with the children of Israel. And so Moses, understanding God's goodness, understanding a little bit about God, had decided that he'd walk out on a limb here. He'd walk out on a limb of faith for just a few minutes. And so we see in verses 18 and 19, him walking out on a bit of a limb. Take a look at it. Exodus 33, verse 18. "And he," Moses, "said, 'Please show me your glory.'" That's pretty serious. I can remember a verse, something about, maybe you can help me with this, something about destroyed by the brightness of something. What was it? destroyed by the brightness of his coming, right? If just the coming of Jesus in the clouds of glory are so amazing, so awesome, so deadly, that it would destroy the wicked with the brightness of his coming. Man, Moses is pretty serious, huh? Lord, show me your glory. Whoa. That's you know, I mean, when was the last time you ever walked up to somebody who was a bad guy and said, please, show me the muzzle of your gun? Doesn't sound like a real hot idea, does it? Instead, we want to be as far away from things like that as we can. What was Moses thinking? What was he trying to prove? Because he knew that in asking to see God's glory, he was asking for a deeper revelation of his character. He wanted to know what God was like through and through. He didn't want just a surface Sabbath morning relationship with Jesus. He wanted to know God. Show me your glory. Show me your character. He wanted to know the character of God. And God said to him, get 2 tablets and I'll write on them the law. You want to know God's character? Look in the law. You want to know what God is like? Look at the law. You want to see who God is? See what he is asking us to do. Then we will know. Moses asked to see God's glory and he got the law. And then in verse 1 of chapter 34, God tells him to cut 2 tablets of stone. And then he proclaims his name, merciful and gracious. You see how those two go together? They are one. They are the same thing. When you ask for the glory, you get the law. When you cut the tables of stone to get the law, you see mercy and grace and God's love. Psalm chapter 19, verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. Because it is law and grace together. Because it shows us both sides of the character of God, both just and merciful. We see both in God's law. It is perfect, converting the soul. I've preached a number of sermons on the law. I remember when I personally really gave my heart to the Lord. I was listening to a fellow talk about the beast. And this beast has a number, and this number, and this guy just had his microphone. I hope this one's off, right? Make sure this one's off. He's got this microphone, and that's where he put it, right up here. And he begins to scream, 666. And I'm sitting back there as a kid like this. I'm scared to death. But even then I realized, as I come to the Lord, it's not about being frightened into acknowledging God. Right? It's about a relationship with a God who, yes, has a law, who has justice, who will have a judgment, yes? In fact, there's some messages Maybe you remember them. Something about the judgment has something, has come. Y'all need to help me out a little bit more here. Can't you see I'm forgetting things? Help me out. This judgment has come. There is law, but there is also mercy, right? We need to come to the God who molds both of those together. One God who is both just and merciful. But it seems to me that as we look at the law, sometimes we're tempted to think that's not the way it is. You know what I mean? After all, what does James tell us? James chapter 2 verse 12 says, "So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty," right? So speak and so do as those who will be judged. And boy, when we hear those kinds of things, it's a little bit scary. You know, we tend to think of the justice side, the unrelenting knowledge of God seeking us, always looking, never missing a trick. We tend to think that's what it's all about, and we need to convince people of the law because someday they're going to face that. And that's true, isn't it? Nothing wrong with that. It is true, isn't it? If we aren't telling people that someday there's a judgment coming, we're not Seventh-day Adventists. Okay. That was your golden opportunity there. Y'all are Seventh-day Adventists, yeah? Amen. Good, just checking. If we're Seventh-day Adventist, we're going to be telling that there is a judgment, yes? Thank you. And it has come. That's part of our unique message. This law can't be just ignored, can it? Does God just say, "Oh, you spilled it all over yourself. It's okay. Watch. There, all better." Is that the way God works? Is that what it's all about? Is that who God is? Our big magician in the sky? Is that what it is? He just does magical things for us? All your sin is gone. Poof. Is that what it's about? That's not how it works, is it? Sin is not ignored. Spilling the cup is not just swept away magically somehow. Instead, it demands death, doesn't it? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. It's kind of like a parent saying to their child, "Don't spill the cup," right? Why? Because there are consequences. Right? There are consequences. Stuff gets messed up. Your clothes get messed up. The furniture, the floor. And it spreads out, doesn't it? It doesn't just stay with one person. "Well, it's not hurting anything. It's just me." Is that how it works? Or do these things suddenly, oops, it's on the chair. "Oh, I didn't realize it had gotten on the floor." Right? Somehow these things tend to dribble and run and mess up a lot of stuff. "Well, I didn't mean to." Somehow doesn't quite cut it, does it? There are consequences. And so we see here the justice, but there's more to the law than that. Otherwise, God's character also would be one-sided, right? After all, hasn't it been the devil's specific aim to constantly tell us that God is waiting to destroy sinners always, and once you sin, too late for you. God is up there just waiting for people to make mistakes, hoping he can destroy them. And he painted this skewed picture of God, yes? So there must be some other side to the law, yes? Psalm chapter 19, verse 11. I want you to turn there. You can hold your finger there in Exodus, but Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Are you with me? Psalm 19. And we talked about verse 7, and I'll bet you could even sing verse 7 for me, right? Yeah, you all know verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Right? You know that one, right? Yeah. And then we skip down. We go through 7, 8, and 9 like verses using verse 10 as the chorus, right? More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Right? You know those, right? How often do we look at verse 11? How often do we look at verse 11? In fact, let's read verse 11. Moreover, by them. Wait, what were we talking about? What is them? The law, the Ten Commandments, right? By the commandments, the statutes of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord. By them, what happens? Your servant is what? Warned, if I'm anxious to burn you, why should I bother warning you? A warning is only there if I want to save you. I don't need to warn you if I don't want to save you. I don't need to tell you, be careful, watch out, if I don't care. In other words, the mercy of God's law is that he is warning us. He wants to save us. He wants to draw us back from the edge. God loves us with an everlasting love. And he wants to warn us. He wants to bring us back from the brink. The law is not ignored. It is a warning to us. It points us to Christ. It tells us of his love for us. You're there in Psalm chapter 19 still, maybe. I'm going to go back there for just a second. Psalm 19 and verse 8. Psalm 19 and verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Think about that for just a minute. There is no impurity whatsoever in God's law, right? And as I look at that pure law, ooh. I see problems, don't I? Because the law is pure and I'm impure. I'm not pure. And so it is the thing that teaches me to look to Jesus. It teaches us to look to Jesus. The law then is about mercy. As I look in the law, I need something more than I can do. If I'm honest, if I'm real, as I look at that law, I know that there is none righteous, no, not even this one. Right? And so I'm driven to Jesus. I'm going to look at Him. I'm going to see Jesus and His righteousness as my need. It is the parent saying to the child, be careful, be careful. Why? Because I don't want to see you suffer the consequences. The law is a warning because God wants to keep you from the consequences. God wants to make you pure like Him. He wants that character for you, that character that is both just and merciful. If we are all about the justice, it's a wrong picture of God. And if we're all about the mercy and love, it's a skewed picture of Jesus. It's about both the mercy and the justice. It's both. And as we see in Jesus, we see both. Exodus chapter 34. Verses, beginning with verse 6. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, what? Merciful and gracious. Oh, see the mercy and love of God that has given us this law. No, gave it again when we had broken it. And we see the mercy of God. Graciousness of God, long suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. God is not just about, oh, it doesn't matter. Yes, it matters. It matters very much. And he repeats the whole ideas, both ideas, in a thought rhyme, if you will, in verse 7, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but by no means clearing the guilty, yes? Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. You can see this character of God from both sides, forgiving thousands and visiting iniquity if unrepented, right? To the third and fourth generations. God is a God of love and mercy. And we see that in Jesus. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Jesus is praying to his Father in John chapter 17, just before going to the cross. John chapter 17, verse... Where am I? Verse 4. John 17 and verse 4. I have glorified you. Wait, glorified? What does that mean? Shown his character, right? I have shown your character, Jesus is saying. I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. I have finished giving the world the true picture of God. Let's see an example of that. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Let's look at a picture of Jesus showing what God is like. You know the first part of John chapter 8. A woman was brought to Jesus, caught in the act. And in verse 10, when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? Verse 11, she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Oh, I want to hear these words, don't you? He said to her, neither do I condemn thee. Wow. Wow. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Go to verse 46. Go to verse 46. Which of you, he says, which of you convicts me of sin? Jesus had the purity of life. And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Brothers and sisters, Jesus forgave her and said, go and sin no more. This was not forgive and just go do what you want to do again. Go and sin no more. Jesus is calling us to that same life today. To be just and merciful. You and I have a message of justice for this world. There are three angels out there who are telling about a judgment to come, who are telling about worshiping a beast, who are telling about the judgments that will fall as a result of doing so. But brothers and sisters, those same three angels have the everlasting gospel. The good news of a Savior who says, neither do I condemn you. We have that message to give today. You and I, to carry on the work of showing the character of God. As we look over the next few weeks at the character of God as reflected in Exodus chapter 34 and in His law, we want to be thinking about how this law gives both sides of this picture. Both sides of this picture of God, both just and merciful. My challenge to you this week is to be just and merciful. You see, our human tendency is to come down on one side or the other, you know? Our human tendency is to either say, that's all right. Don't worry. It's not a problem. We'll be all right. Or to say, you messed it up, you fix it. One or the other. We can't do that of ourselves, can we? Because we're one or the other. And so this week, you can be in prayer that God will show you how to be both just and merciful. Because He will give you that opportunity this week if you pray. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we see the revelation that you made to Moses. The God who is just and merciful. We see the revelation that you made in the face of Jesus, both just and merciful. And Father, our world is dying today, dying for a picture of Jesus, a picture of Jesus in His people who are both just and merciful. May we be that picture this week. In His name we pray.